Warning, the following program is designed for casual wrestling fans and is meant purely for entertainment. If you're SAWFT, proceed at your own risk. Viewer discretion is advised. Brother, I'm going on a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out of this chokehold. But it's no holds barred, middle fingers like I'm Stone Cold. What is good, everybody? It is your boy, We Too Deep. We are back with another episode of the podcast, and it's been an eventful week this week, right? I know you guys are thinking, bro, what's up with all the episodes that we have this week, right? We've had Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and now we're getting Friday, and we got one more coming on Sunday with the breakdown of SmackDown. But this, you know, we're doing a lot of breakdown on this channel this week. We broke down, you know, last week with me and Wavy D, we do what we normally do, broke down Raw and SmackDown. You know, on Wednesday, I broke down AEW. Last night, on Thursday, just posted a couple hours ago, we broke down Evolve and NXT and some of my thoughts on that. And y'all are coming to this episode to get what you guys always want. These are my favorite episodes to make. They're my rant episodes. I just pick some topics, pick some things, and I just talk, right? It's not really breaking down a show. It's more so just ranting on certain topics. So let's dive on in and let's pick back up from last Sunday, where apparently We Too Deep made the unpopular decision to ask actors and actresses who play roles on wrestling shows to stick to their characters, because I'm probably the only person in the casual wrestling community, but more so in a wrestling online fandom in general, I'm probably one of the very few people who actually don't think Charlotte Flair has done anything wrong, right? I don't think Charlotte Flair has done anything wrong. In that she's kept whatever off, you know, going off script shenanigans she's created, and her ad lib, she's created that within the realm of the Charlotte Flair character. The Charlotte Flair, right, is this narcissistic, everything's about me character. So I want to go back down to the sit down video, right? Because this was something that, you know, I made the episode last Sunday, sort of talking about this, and even at that point, I had not actually watched the whole promo of the sit down, right? So I ended up watching that on Monday. And by watching that promo, I don't see any situation where Charlotte Flair went after Tiffany Stratton in a way that would have, you know, because the critique is, and why it was justified for Tiffany to get her comeback last Friday. The justification from a lot of the people who believe that are, well, Charlotte came after Tiffany's money. Where? That promo? No, she didn't. I think Charlotte gave Tiffany Stratton a layup to become this uber sympathetic babyface. Right? Imagine if Tiffany Stratton understood what was going on and had the professional ability that I feel at her age, it's understandable. Right, at her age is understandable, and her experience in the business, it's understandable that she doesn't have this second nature about her that, okay, they've gone over bullet, but I don't actually think there's a script. Someone tried to leak a script of, right, but I don't think there's actually a script on lines that WWE writes for them to say. I don't personally believe that. I believe Triple H books on the, here's the bullet points of what we want done. Y'all go out and do the job. And maybe if there's a line that they want, like, as like a catchphrase or something like that, maybe they give that to them. But I, what I think happened was that they knew the bullet points. Tiffany was going to stick to the bullet points. And Charlotte went off the bullet point, which I think made the promo. Now, we don't know what the original form was supposed to be, but I think Charlotte did a good job of getting you to instantly hate her. Like, let Tiffany speak, right? Is the critique. Well, that's the point. She's playing a heel. And so I wish Tiffany had the ability and the skill set to understand that, okay, Charlotte's going off script here. I have to play my role in the character. Imagine if Tiffany Stratton, while getting completely interrupted every time she tried to speak and being completely disrespected by a character named Charlotte Flair, took this layup and started to cry, or she ran off set and, you know, created this segment where, like, you felt bad for Tiffany. And she comes out the next week in the ring with a promo, right? And talks about how Charlotte Flair's a bully. And you know, you could have created something out of that. You know, Charlotte, you're a narcissistic bully. All you do is bully girls to be, who you're threatened by, right? Because there is a psychological story you could tell. There is a psychological thing behind why bullies bully. Oftentimes it's because they're hurt themselves, and hurt people. And that's not the hurt bit, the hurt syndicates, you know, we hurt people. No, but hurt people hurt people. And so Charlotte, right? Right. And then if that's what you were going to do, if you could have taken the, because I'm even right now just thinking in my head how, like, Charlotte, you know, is hurt. And so she's coming after. Now, I would, again, stay away from the personal stuff. Right. But Charlotte, I feel, is playing the perfect heel to get Tiffany Stratton to this sympathetic babyface place. And instead of doing that, instead of playing ball, Tiffany Stratton took it personally, right? Tiffany took it perfectly and tried to get a receipt that completely doesn't fit with the role of the story. And so now Triple H has to mold something in this week and next week's SmackDown heading into WrestleMania that can make sense of what happened. And now, right, I don't see Charlotte as the bad guy in the situation. And what I mean that is, like, she's not the first offender to me. I don't think Charlotte has done absolutely anything wrong in this. Going off script, I think Charlotte adds to some of the segments, right? I think Charlotte understands how to play a heel and how to make a character look good. I personally believe she likes and she wants to see Tiffany get over, and she's giving these layups, these meatballs right down the center of the plate, and Tiffany's not swinging the bat. She's not swinging the bat, right? She's giving you these things that you could just knock out of the park, right? During the sit down, if Tiffany just gets flustered and starts crying because Charlotte won't let her speak, and right now, right, and then again, you could create a promo the next week or two, right, of how Charlotte Flair's a bully and she's causing me, you know, mental anguish And who know, you could create a character with Tiffany Stratton that the rest of the fans watching can relate to. We all hate bullying, right? I'm willing to bet there are people in the crowd who have been bullied and understand what it's like to be bullied. You could tell the greater narrative of the big bad bully and the person being bullied who then overcome, right? And here's where I think Charlotte was thinking, right? If I bully Tiffany in this sit down interview, and if she plays the part right, we could have it to where I bully her for weeks on weeks on weeks on weeks. We get to the Mania match where we've had, you know, 10 to 12 weeks of me, Charlotte Flair, bullying Tiffany Stratton to where it gets to the actual match. And this is where Tiffany overcomes me, gets back at everything I've ever said, and beats me. And now we have this moment where Tiffany Stratton, who is who's a superstar in the making, who is super over as a super sympathetic babyface, and we just made a superstar because she gets her WrestleMania moment. She gets the rocket strap because she just beat Charlotte Flair. And then, right? Now, ultimately, I would have, again, I've said this before, we've miscast the characters, but we're talking in what the information we have, and I don't know why it's so unpopular to ask people who are playing characters on TV to stick within the characters. This is the problem I have with the indie AEW, ROH, New Japan style wrestling, right? And their promos and all of that, right? No one plays characters. This is why I've always said characters and storylines are the most important to me. And what happens is no one wants to play a character. They just want to, they all want to be generic superhero or generic evil villain. And the promos don't really mean much in AEW, right? Or in ROH or on the indies. It's all just a bunch of people who wrestle and they all do the same thing, right? They all wrestle. That's all they're good at is wrestling. And WWE's different, right? We're telling stories, right? In order to tell stories, you have to tell your actors and actresses you are playing a character. Stay within that character. You can ad lib, but you have to stay within that character. Right. If you forget a line or you think of something that might be better, more power to you to come up with something better. But again, it has to stay within your character. And so I didn't know it was so unpopular to ask actors and actresses to play a character. And that's the one thing I think in this business that Tiffany Stratton hasn't been able to play. I think the bigger issue, though, is the booking. I don't want to blame Tiffany for this because I don't necessarily think it's her fault. I don't think she has an actual gimmick. I think she's in between playing the bad girl, but she was always the baby. Like, we just saw her get bullied by Nia Jax, right? We saw this same type of story with the Nia Jax story and Tiffany Stratton story, right? We know Tiffany can play this, so why don't we do the same thing? Right, where no one takes her serious on the main roster, right? Nia uses her, abuses her, bullies her. Ultimately, the great come up of that is when you cash in your money in the bank on Nia Jax. Well, now that you got the belt, now Charlotte Flair's coming in and she's bullying you. So why don't you do the same thing and you get your comeuppance by beating the GOAT of the women's division, Charlotte Flair, right? You could play like you've done this before, like so again, Tiffany Stratton took Charlotte's behavior personally and she aired personal grievances on TV by coming after Charlotte Flair's personal life which I'm not the biggest fan of, right? So this is the last I'll ever speak of it because I'm tired of explaining it. I think it's pretty cut and dry, if I'm being honest. I don't think there's a gray area here. I think Charlotte Flair is in the right. She's playing a character. Her going off her script has stayed within her character of the narcissistic bully. And Tiffany Stratton going off script was not within the sympathetic babyface character. It's just not. So that's where I'll drop this topic and we'll move on. And we'll move on to what I'm going to title Dear Swerve Strickland. My dude Swerve he went on Vlad TV and I don't know the whole conversation. Don't really care, to be honest with you. Something about, you know, there's still like racism within wrestling. And again, I don't want to misquote him. I don't want to misrepresent what he was saying. So if you do want to check that out, go check it out. But essentially, this created a feud between him and Booker T. Right? Now, Booker T isn't just like a Hall of Fame wrestler. He's a 2-time Hall of Fame wrestler, by the way. But Booker T is well respected in the wrestling world, not just by, you know, African American wrestling fans, but by the whole wrestling. Like Booker T was one of my favorites growing up. Like, I've always had a place in my heart when it comes to wrestling for Booker T, right? I remember being like 5-6 years old trying to do the spin-a-rooney. Like, I love Booker T, dude. And he's my favorite commentator on WWE programming. I think he just makes, right? He does the sort of, I think he does what Pat McAfee's attempting to do and make situations seem a little bit funnier or add to moments. And I think Pat takes away, or I think Booker T knows how to get someone over, right? And that's just my opinion. I think Booker T is one of the greatest commentators we have right now in WWE. I think Vic Joseph is great. That pairing's awesome. I hope they never split him up, really. Like, I'm being honest. As much as I want Vic to thrive, if they move Vic up, I need them to take Booker T with them, right? Excuse me. But I just swear, you ain't done jack shit in this business. And you're coming after a five-time Intercontinental Champion Booker T. And here's where, like I could sort of cross the line, I could sort of forget you going on and pitting Booker T versus you, which is what the media wants Black people to do anyways, to create division even within their own community, right? But, you know, I don't want to speak on that, though, because that's not my experience to speak on, right? But I find it funny, right? There's always this rule with show business, right? The last thing you do is the thing that's going to be talked about. It's the last thing the fans are going to remember, right? So Swerve Strickland just gets screwed out of the AEW World Championship by the Young Bucks, and he picks up a mic. Now, if I'm a fan in the building, I'm probably thinking, oh, he's going to cut a promo on the Bucks or on Moxley. No, no. He cuts a promo on Booker T and says, you know what? F you, Booker T. Swerve, my dude. That's the last thing these fans are going to see as they walk out of the building. The last thing you did, you made a grievous mistake here. You put over somebody else. You put over another company's worker as the last part of the show. Right? That's stupid, dude. That's bad business. It's stupid. For no reason, right? Booker T ain't doing jack shit to you, big dog. right? Booker T's been very gracious, I believe, and very good in his responses that I've seen so far. I think Booker T thinks it's just as stupid as I do, that this whole thing is even a story. But you ain't surpassing, like, Swerve, you ain't done shit compared to what Unk Booker T has done in this business. Right? And my whole point is, it's the same thing Booker T was saying on one of his first responses was, we talk about this and these people sort of just act like Booker T didn't go through the same experiences black wrestlers claim they're going through today. And Booker T's response is, bro, you want me to be the angry black guy, right? But I wasn't so that you could be in the position you're in right now. I don't think Booker T lied. Swerve Strickland wouldn't be where he's at right now if Booker T went all Malcolm X on everybody, right? It's the typical MLK versus Malcolm X debate, like, which is the best way, and both are necessary. You need the strategic, planned out Martin Luther King Jr. March on Washington approach. That's probably the approach I would take if you guys know me, right? I'm very logical. I'm very, let's think long term, right? So the civil rights movement was thinking long term, whereas Malcolm X and his movement was thinking right now, right? Let's blow up the system now, right? And Martin Luther King Jr. was saying, we may have to suffer now for future generations, right? Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream wasn't for himself, it was for his children, right? My dream is that my children could one day be in a nation where you're not judged by the color of your skin, but by the content of your heart, right? It was for future generations. It was well planned out with the idea of we might not see benefits of this, but it's for the future generations. And Malcolm X came around and said, no, I want the benefits now. I want the system destroyed now. Both are useful. Both could be practical. I think Martin Luther King Jr., as we've seen through history, his strategy tends to work better. But I could see the Malcolm X point of view. I can't, right? And I think Swerve is playing that Malcolm X thing where he wants the system to burn right now, not thinking about what effects that could have for the industry and for other black wrestlers in the future, right? Again, this isn't my experience, so I don't feel like I'm qualified to talk about this, right? Outside of the more like logical breakdown, what Booker T said, I don't know the way to do this. I don't, right? I also don't necessarily think Swerve, how are you being mistreated? And maybe you're trying to call out a system of whatever, right? But if there's anything, right? And while we're on this topic, though, it's sort of on this topic, but on a different side of the coin, right? A different side of this topic. I'm so tired. I'm just going to be honest with you. Can I be honest? I'm so tired of getting on social media and watching guys like Ibu, who works for Fightful now, I think, IBOU, post numerous times a day about how black AEW's card was on Saturday compared to WrestleMania, which, by the way, while he was posting it, the card wasn't even complete. The card's still not complete, right? So many people were talking about how there's only one black person on the card confirmed for WrestleMania. And then that same day, Jade Cargill, Naomi get approved. Now, we could talk about one of these other things, the rumors being that the Street Profits are defending on Friday and the War Raiders are defending at WrestleMania. Can we do the opposite? We want the Profits on Mania. Big Dog, like, how hard is it to just create a five team tag team ladder match? Like we all predicted would happen. How hard is that for Triple H to put it in his mind that needs to be the case? That needs to be what's done. Anyway, right? I'm so tired of this, like, Triple H is racist narrative. Because he doesn't give every single black person on the roster a WrestleMania main event spot, right? Because B-Fab, look, I love B-Fab. Everyone knows I love B-Fab. She doesn't deserve a spot on WrestleMania. She hasn't done anything, right? She's not in a story that requires WrestleMania. I'm so tired of people like Ibu who create more division than what they think they're doing by, oh, this card is so black. Insinuating that the other company doesn't treat black people right. I don't get it. I don't. I really don't. It's annoying, right? Right. The whole race baiting thing in wrestling. I hate these conversations, but I think they're conversations that need to be had. And I'll just add my personal point of view and then we'll move on. I hate the race conversation, not because I don't think racism exists. I do think there are people who hate people who are different than them. And that's on both sides of the aisles, by the way, right? Right. I think we have this cultural belief, not an understanding, but a cultural belief that racism can only happen from whites to blacks. And guys, that's just not true. Right? That's just not true. Now, more than likely, it's going to be whites on blacks. But you know, this whole Stop Asian Hate campaign that happened like 2 or 3 years ago, right? We got to, especially during like coronavirus. Guys, you guys know that statistically, the biggest race that perpetrates hate crimes against Asians are African Americans. You can look up the stats. So racism happened, like even racism within the same, Chinese and Japanese, they don't like each other for good reasons. Historically, they don't like each other. Right. But here's my personal perspective. If we look at race as something that separates, here's the thing. We're all the same race. We're all human. There's actually only one race. So I'm going to go on a soapbox real quick, and I hope you're okay. The idea of different races and then one being more superior than the other, which is what racism is, started with the evolution debate. The Charles Darwin, The Origin of the Species book that he put out. I'm going to read you the full title because they never teach you the whole title of Charles Darwin's book. I got to find it first because I don't have it memorized because it is pretty long. Right, here we go. The full title of Darwin's famous 1859 book is On the Origin of the Species by the Means of Natural Selection or Preservation for Favored Races and the Struggle for Life. Darwin was promoting eugenics, or his theory is what led to eugenics, which is, picking out certain genes. It's sort of what the Nazi movement did when they picked out certain genes and they did actual tests on people to see if we could pick out certain genes to make a superior race. Darwin's whole theory, the whole theory of evolution, was founded with the idea of racism, that whites were more superior, that blacks were the lesser race. But guys, we don't find that anywhere else historically in secular history. By secular, I mean not religious. We don't see that anywhere out in like secular wise in history. You know, in science, before Darwin. Darwin's whole theory of evolution was used to promote racist ideologies. And so when we think of different races, the problem is that there's only one race, and that's human. The difference is it's genetic. That's what I was looking for. It's genetic. My skin, right now, I'm about as white as mayonnaise, right? But this isn't actually white, right? This pen is white. Obviously, I'm right. This is more of a peach color, right? So I always find it like we call them white or black, but I mean, there are people who have a lot of melanin who do end up being the color of this microphone black, right? However, that's very rare. It's tan or like peach and brown, right? But that's the point. We're all brown. We all are different shades of brown. That is actual science. It's the amount of melanin you have in your DNA, or how much of the melanin that your body produces. So it's not white or black. We're all brown. We're all human. We all bleed red. We all just have different shades, different hues of melanin, and no one's favored. We're all just human. Can we put an end to this conversation? Right? Can we put an end to this conversation? I'm tired of it. We're all brown. That's from we can put that in a, can we stop talking about race in general from a wrestling standpoint, from a political standpoint? I understand things have happened in history based on Darwin's theories, by the way, that have given poor experiences to people of color. But we're all people of color. Can we just be, again, definitionally, we're all brown. We're all just different shades of brown. Right? I just, that is the understanding from, this isn't necessarily a religious understanding, because there is the idea that, you know, we're all created equal, which we are. But I'm not trying to talk religion. I'm literally just trying to give you the science. Actual science will show you that we're all brown, because we all come from a common ancestor at the beginning of human history. The first male, the first female. Right, that we all come from them, and we right. But this has gone down a whole topic that I didn't think I was going to talk about. But that's what's fun about these episodes. We're all brown, we are. So, can we end this conversation by saying it's stupid? Swerve, focus on your wrestling. Focus on not hurting none. Pac, right? Let's do better. Let's end this conversation. Let's not create division that doesn't need to be here. And let's just like the card for what it is, right? Because everyone calls Triple H racist, but forgets that, you know, for whatever reason, Triple H loves the Hispanic peoples. Because LWO is a center point. Zelina's getting a push. I don't know what it is. I mean, I get it. I do. I love me some Hispanic women as well. I do. But come on, Trips. So he's put, you know, he's pushed Damian. He's pushed the Samoans, and you could call that nepotism if you want with The Rock, but it is what it is. Like, I don't think that the company's not booking black people because they don't like black people. I don't think, again, this is my other thing is, outside of Bianca, Jade, Naomi, can we name on the main roster maybe the Prophets? So let's put the Prophets, Bianca, Jade, Naomi. Can we name another black talent that has put in the work or been put in a story that requires them to be maybe the New Day? Maybe the New Day that requires them to be on WrestleMania. And we'll just end the conversation there. Next rant. Dear indie wrestlers, y'all know I like to talk about professionalism. So if you guys go back a few weeks, I did that special episode where I interviewed indie wrestler Vicky Venuto, Vicious Vicky, and did that interview, which was fun, by the way. Right. After doing that, I really got a taste of, I want to do it again. But I don't necessarily want to put on some popular indie star. But anyway, so there are indie wrestlers who, first off, I have to be interested in who they are. Like, there has to be a reason for me to bring them on here. I'm not just going to bring them on and be like, hey, let's talk about your career and do what every other podcast does when they interview people. Right? And so that I haven't sent out a lot of, like, requests to join the show. But I've sent out a couple. And I'm not going to name names because I still want to do business with these people. Right? I'm going to remain professional. Right? But my critique is this. When someone sends you a request to your booking email, and the answer you want to give them is no, or you're not interested in the opportunity. Again, I 100%. So let me tell you my process, right? Because I do this professionally, right? This is as professional as I can get. I send out what is known as a feeler email. Essentially, it's, hey, my name's Randall. I go by We Too Deep online. I have a podcast called the Slapping Me Wrestling Podcast. I would love to have you on and interview you about your career, and just wanting to see if this was something you would be interested in doing and what it would take to make this happen. And I add that part because a lot of times wrestlers to go on podcasts require some form of payment, which, again, it's their time. It's, you know, they're coming on your show, to talk about their career. It's their time. I have no problem with, you know, them asking for compensation, right? But that's sort of what I'm trying to figure out when I send the feeler is, what's the compensation? Because I'm broke, right? So, like, if you remember when I got canceled from TikTok for a while back in 2023, we're approaching 2 years, by the way, June 30th. But I sent out a request to a dude. Used to be an NXT referee, now an indie wrestler, that I was actually friends with on Facebook, who has been canceled in the wrestling sphere before. And I sent him out. I was like, hey, man, I want to bring you on, talk about your experience with this and how you handled it and what your thoughts on it. And he's like, yeah, man, here's the prices. Again, he was really professional in how he did it. He said, hey, man, this is what I need. You know, this for this amount of time, this for this amount of time. Cool. I can't afford that. I do appreciate you answering me. And this is where this rant is going, is when I send you a feeler email, even if the idea of joining a podcast that only has 160 subscribers on YouTube and doesn't have a lot of listeners and is still in the growing phase, if that doesn't make sense to you, which I completely understand from a business standpoint, if that's not something you want to do, can you at least just reply with no thank you? Like, I'm not asking you to write me a 12-page essay on why you don't want to show up. All I'm asking is you to do the professional thing and say thank you for reaching out. At this time, we don't think this is the right opportunity, but maybe in the future. Right. That's all I ask for. Right. Because I know you've read the email. You know how I know? Because the email server I use sends me alerts when my emails that I send get opened. Right. I know you've seen them. Right. This isn't one of those things where you can sort of like play it off like, oh, I didn't see it. No. I know you saw it. And so that's when, dear indie wrestlers, can we be a little bit more professional? And that's all I'm asking for. Just a little personal rant there. Let's move on. Dear AEW fans, please learn how to take critique. I can't tell you how many times a week I have this thought. Why are y'all so butthurt when I critique your product that you enjoy, right? It's, again, it's not a personal attack on you. And it's not even a personal attack on the product. It's just, bro, we know where you could be. You're not there, right? So when someone like JD, because JD from NY, I talk about him a lot now because I've been watching his product. But he did this epic 3-minute rant on at the beginning of his Dynasty live stream when it went off the air Monday morning, because it was about 1 o'clock when they were able to actually go off the air, right? And he did this beautiful rant, 3 minutes long, right? Had like 200,000 likes, and it got pulled. Now, there's only two ways this happened. Either Tony Khan caught wind of this and had them remove it, or AEW fans got butthurt and JD haters got butthurt and reported it so many times because it critiqued the product that it got pulled for bullying and harassment. That's crazy. AEW fans, I need you to know this. Not everyone likes the product. But here's the thing. JD talks about the product the way he talks about the product because he's been a fan since day one, and he knows how good AEW can be, and he wants it at that place again. Not this indie bullshit, you know, that's only for the sickos. He wants the product where it was in 2021 when you were 900,000 to a million viewers on TV. But the product's not there, and that's why we critique it. I know how good the product could be. There was a point in time, an early AEW, where it wasn't for me. I couldn't get behind the characters and the storylines, and the matches weren't for me. But I understood that there was a large section of the wrestling fan base that liked AEW, and it was good product. Like the story, there wasn't much story. Again, AEW, I could tell very early on, wasn't going to be for me because I am storyline and character based. But I understood that, bro, the ratings look good. You're competing with getting a million on a Wednesday with wrestling, very hard to do. And you were close to a million viewers every week, and you were filling up decent size arenas, and you're just not there anymore. There's been a massive decline in interest in your product and viewership and ticket sales if when you compare them to like 2021, early 2022. Within the last 2 to 3 years. And really what it was, can we be honest with you? The moment that AEW began the downfall of the company was the moment they released CM Punk. Because CM Punk was their top draw in the company. That is what was putting eyes on the product and asses in the seats. And CM Punk getting released, getting fired, and then you releasing the tape, which, by the way, the decision to release the tape has reached a 1-year anniversary this week. How great has that downfall been in the last year since you decided to do the stupidest booking decision ever? Anyway. I don't understand why fans don't understand that when someone who critiques or criticizes a show, it's not because they don't like it or that they don't like the company. You got to understand that when someone like me, or when someone like JD, someone like Solomonster, or something like that, critique the product, it's out of hope that Tony Khan catches wind of this shit and what we're saying and the ideas we're talking about, and he listens and he understands and he comprehends and he gets back to what made the product entertaining. And I can tell you for certain it's not John Moxley. It's not the Young Bucks. Currently in your company, it's Swerve Strickland, it's Hangman Page, it's MJF. I'll give Tony Storm to you because I'm probably the only person in the wrestling world that doesn't like Tony Storm, especially among like the casual, more AEW critiquers. Like Jesse and JD love Tony Storm. I find her uber cringy. Right, but I'll give you Tony Storm. That's something the fans love. It's Mariah May. Right, it's not John Moxley. It's not the Young Bucks. It's not Kenny Omega. Can we talk about that segment though? Because I didn't mention this on Wednesday. Kenny Omega basically came out there on Wednesday and made a joke of this entire story by giving a story and talking for 5 minutes about dog shit. Like, quite literally, a story on dog shit. Dookie, as he called it. All alluding to the idea that the Young Bucks are dog shit and that the product is dog shit. And you could easily tell that Kenny Omega is not inspired at all to be in AEW. He doesn't want to be there. I think he's going through the motions to whatever time is remaining on his contract is over. And it would not surprise me if within the next 5 years, because I don't know how long his contract is, so I'm gonna play the high number and say 5 years. Within 5 years, it would not surprise me if MJF and Kenny Omega are WWE bound. Because both of them appear to be going through the motions. That's just my take. Let's move forward. Continuing to talk about the fans. Dear IWC, we're going to talk about a guy you apparently don't love. And a guy you're trying to get canceled for doing his job, which is being a comedian. And that is Mr. Tony Hinchcliffe. Now, I will admit, Kill Tony's funny at times. Tony Hinchcliffe is not funny. I think he thinks he's funny, and I think he has a bunch of yes men around him who know that if they kiss his ass and hook themselves to him, they'll get a little bit of the Netflix money, and they'll get a little bit of this WrestleMania roast money. I do think that's what's going on here. I don't find Tony Hinchcliffe to be funny at all. However, I love comedy, and I understand why he was on commentary. And I think he did a very good job on commentary, not taking away from what was going on TV and not saying anything uber stupid. He did better than McAfee does on a week-to-week basis. But you guys got to understand comedy. You're upset because we're no, here's my thing. Roast comedy is not my favorite form of comedy. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not the biggest fan of roasts. And I tell you right now, I'm just going to go ahead and say this right now. I hope they air this roast because I think this would be very fun to watch, especially since it's going to be after night two. The show, I'm assuming, will be over Eastern time, probably around 10:30. And then the roast will probably start probably around 11 Eastern. Now, out west, I mean, you're talking 8 o'clock. Perfect timing, right? If this roast includes Jeff Ross, who, for whatever reason, only pops up in comedy during roast. It's the only time I ever see anything about Jeff Ross. If he's there, I might turn it off. If they air it. I don't think it's being aired. I wish it was, because I really want to see this. We'll see. But yeah, if Jeff Ross is there, it's going to be shit. because Jeff Ross gets the same, you know, he's at every single celebrity roast ever. And everyone always says the same jokes about him. There's nothing new creatively about what you can roast Jeff Ross about. And he's not creative either. He fucking is not funny either. But that's the reason why I'm not the biggest fan of roast comedy. Is because a lot of times it's just, let's take stupid personal jabs at people that aren't funny. Like, I find, like, narrative comedy funny. Like, what I mean by that is telling a story, hooking people in, and then hitting them with the punchline. I do like, there's this new thing in comedy now. Matt Rife made it popular. Now Nate Jackson's making it popular. I like Nate Jackson more than Matt Rife, to be honest. Whereas, like, crowd work, I love crowd work. That shit's funny, right? But I'm not the biggest fan of the idea of, like, getting 8 rich-ass celebrities on a stage to roast another rich-ass celebrity, and none of them's funny at all, right? Like, the roast of Tom Brady, I enjoyed it because of who was there, and some of it was good. But I'm not the biggest fan of, especially, like, the actual comedians. Like, Jeff Ross wasn't funny. The better people, the best sets in those roasts, the roast of Tom Brady, were like Drew Bledsoe, Rob Gronkowski, Julian Edelman, right? Those were the better parts, and I only enjoyed those because, as a Patriots fan, I know the relationship between Jules and Gronk and Brady. And that's just how they communicate with each other, right? I don't know. I'm not the biggest fan of roast. I am. But at the same time, IWC, why y'all so soft? You're soft as Charmin over here. Oh, Tony Hinchcliffe's a racist. How? Because he made a statement at a political... Because he made a statement at a political rally that told the truth. Like... Have you seen Puerto Rico? Like that's the, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but my little brother went to Puerto Rico for New Year's. While he was there, the entire island lost power except for the resorts that had generators. Puerto Rico is a shithole. Let's just be honest. Right, he made a joke about Puerto Rico being floating trash. And he wasn't necessarily lying. Right now we could talk about why it's that way and have the deep political discussion outside of the comedy show. Right? But Tony Hinchcliffe is a comedian. He was brought into a political rally to tell jokes. Now, I don't think it was the greatest political strategy. I wouldn't, if I was running for president, I wouldn't bring a comedian on the campaign trail. But maybe it was the best political strategy because it connects with the culture. Who knows? We don't know the effect that had on people's voting, right? And again, I don't really care. But to try to cancel this man, and get this is what he said. The only thing stiffer than Michael Cole is Biggie's neck. Was he lying? Biggie's neck's pretty stiff. Right? And Big E took it with grace, and he was like, bro, this is funny. Right? We're trying to cancel this man for providing entertainment because he made a joke? What type of world are we living in where we can't tell jokes anymore? I don't know, man. I love comedy. Comedy's one of the greatest entertainment forms there is, because it's the only one where you could tell the truth and people think you're joking. And that's why I love it, right? People like George Orwell, not George Orwell, he wrote books. George Carlin, that's who I was thinking of. George Orwell wrote books. He was not a comedian. George Carlin was the comedian. people like George Carlin, Dave Chappelle, Richard Pryor. I don't really have a lot of favorite comedian in this generation. Bill Burr, I like Bill Burr. Bert Kreischer, who was on Raw, I love his stuff, man. Comedy is the only place you could tell the truth and get away with being offensive because you're joking. But now you're taking away, like, the whole idea is you're being offensive. The whole idea of comedy or the jester or the joker, right, came from, you know, in medieval times, you would have a joker or a jester whose entire job was to be funny. And oftentimes this would come at the expense of some of the rich elite that hired him, right? But it was all in jest. It was all in joking, right? And that's what this was. That's all comedy is. And we're trying to get this man canceled. Here's the thing. You can't cancel the uncancelable, right? I think what people need to recognize is someone like a Kill Tony who owns his own stuff. He's on Netflix. He has a shit ton of money. He could create his own platform if he wanted to. If he left YouTube and stopped posting on YouTube or TikTok and went to a site like Rumble, people would just migrate over there. He's uncancelable because he's his own boss, right? That's the cool thing about Kill Tony. You know, the guy Tom McDonald, the rapper that I talked about last Friday. People trying to, you know, get mad and call him far extreme right. He's not, and they try to cancel him. But he's uncancelable because he's not signed to a record label. He writes all his music. He creates every single beat he ever raps on. His sister, his mom, and his dad run the warehouse. When he does an album release, he's actually going to do an album release in 14 days. In 14 days when he releases his album, he'll work the hardest till he'll work all spring. And he'll personally sign every album. He'll package them with, you know, his mom, his dad, his sister. They package everything. They ship everything out. They do everything as far as, like, he's truly independent. And you know what that means? You can't cancel him. You can critique him. You can criticize him. You can ostracize him. But guess what? He's still going to make music because he's not run by a label. He's not run by, right? He does everything himself. And that is the cool thing about being independent. And so, like, when someone has that ability where they're uncancelable, right? Like me, y'all could try to cancel me. But unless you come and, like, rip my voice box out, I'm not going to stop making podcasts. I may have zero listeners, but I'm not going to stop talking with the hope that someone's going to hear this and agree with me or relate to it, right? So that's what my thoughts on the whole Tony Hinchcliffe situation. The last thing I want to talk about is another con. It's not Tony, but it's Nick. I do have an opinion on this. Nick Khan gave a statement, something, again, I don't know the exact quote, but basically the IWC's opinion of his product, the online community's opinion of his product, he doesn't care about, and he's not going to allow them to make a booking decisions. Now here's my problem with this, because I see what he's saying, because there are a lot of stupidity and stupid takes online, 100%. Here's my problem, though. Here's my problem with this mentality, right? And I think I'm going to differ from a lot of the casual community, because I think the casual community saw this and said, oh, this is what we've been saying, right? No. I think WWE, I think AEW, I think if you're an entertainment entity, if you're the NFL, if you're the NBA, if you need to listen to the, right? Because I think people think that there's only a subsection of the world on Twitter, right? Now, I understand not everyone is on Twitter. And Twitter is not real life. right? There's a lot of anonymous accounts where people just say stupid shit to say stupid shit. But X or Twitter is the town square of modern society, right? If you know anything about town squares, we can go all the way back to ancient Rome. We called them agoras. That's where the philosophers would sit and discuss big political ideas or philosophical ideas. You know, that's where people would come to learn news and discuss things. And that's basically been what the town square has always been throughout history, right? It's where the news was posted. It's where you could go and get the tea, right? We don't have that in modern society, right? Because partially because of social media has sort of taken away the desire to want to go out to a place and meet with people and have face-to-face conversation. But at the same time, it's also replaced it with one app in particular. Like, I would never say Facebook is the town square because it doesn't have as many users that around the world, around the country, as something like X does, right? But I also think, like, the type of content you see on Facebook differs from the type of content you'll see on X. I think X is where political discourse happens, the wrestling, everyone is on X, right? It's, you know, everyone makes a joke. Facebook's like the grandpa app now, right? It's for old people and people like I hardly ever post much on Facebook, to be honest. I don't, because you don't get much response there. Whereas on X, X is made for conversation. And so I do think that wrestling entities, entertainment entities need to utilize that conversation, and because that's where the conversation's happening. And so obviously you're not going to make all your booking decisions on the IWC. But I think there are very, very good conversations that are had on the internet that are worth having a discussion on. Should we book according to this? Like, there are a lot of podcasters and content creators and just people who post their opinions about wrestling who understand the business and understand storytelling and I think Nick Khan, I understand where you come from. But I think anyone that runs a business should pay attention to X at the least, because that's where the commentary on entertainment's going on. That is right, and it should influence your booking and a little, like, not fully, but some. Right? That's how I take it. Like I get where you're coming from, but at the same time, like, there should be some influence of what the fans want in your product. Right, so that's my take on the issue, and that's where we'll end this. Don't forget, one more episode this week on Sunday, as we break down SmackDown, and that'll be a fun episode, as well as this whole week has had. But hope you enjoyed this. Comment, like, subscribe, share with your friends. Until the next time. I'm Way Too Deep. This is the Slapping Me Wrestling Podcast. Remember to keep calm. Slap that meat. So hit that subscribe. Come along for the ride. AEWWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay. Slapping Meat Wrestling every Tuesday.